in the Indian tradition, in the Hindu tradition, they talk about the deity field. It's the principal deity that a person, let's say, well, they would say worships, and I would say identifies with. They call it the Ishta Deva. In my own spiritual wanderings, I go in and out of quote-unquote worshipping the form and worshipping the formless. That word worshipping, I don't use so much anymore. I don't really like it, because in my mind it sets up a sense of separation between the worshiper and the worshipped. And that whole notion of worship kind of gives me indigestion anyway, because it sets up in my mind a giving of one's power over to that which one is worshiping. And that's even an old-fashioned way of saying it. It's putting it outside of oneself. So in my mind and my understanding, it's less about worship and it's more about identifying with. It's more about being inspired by. It's more about incorporating into. It's more about, I could say merging with, but I don't even want to say that, because if we're merging with something, there's still a sense that it's outside of us. It's more like embracing what is within. And again, in my own journey, I'll go several years and I'll be all about form, and then I'll have some kind of big experience and the whole form explodes and then it's just formless. And depending on how extreme an experience, being the drama queen that I am, sometimes, you know, it's really, there was several years ago, I was so, I can't worship the form. I had to take, you know, I used to have quite a collection of the statues, they're called murtis, of the goddess, all different aspects of the goddess, in my studio. And I had this big woo-ha experience, and I had to like take them all out. I wrapped each one up and I put them in a big box, like a womb, and I put them away. And that was a period when we were having class in my studio, and I'll never forget, everybody came in that next week and they're like, what happened? Where did all the girls go? So, I don't really have any of my old-timers in the room tonight, so they would be giggling profusely if they were here. They're all out trick-or-treating. And then a year or two later, I have another one of these big woo-ha experiences, and I have to take them all out of the box and put them. So it goes. And that went on probably from the time I was, came onto the yogic path, and just right before I turned 30, I think it was, 77. Yeah, I was 29. For all the years I was a student of Muktananda, it was pretty much he was the focus. But then after I moved on from the guru, and that was a long period, that was 17 years, after that was when this other thing started happening. Anyway, a long, boring story short, so here I am now, all these years later, I'm 63 years old. I've been doing this for so many years. And I find as I get older, it gets simpler and simpler and simpler. And I sometimes laugh at myself, like, what are you turning into, this Zen kind of person? And for so many years, I was this off-the-charts, over-the-top, like Hindu-esque bhakta kind of a creature. And here I am now. The forms just don't have any resonance for me anymore. I could care less about much of the sacred texts. And I seem to be, I'm only interested in simplicity. I'm interested in the essential. There's not even a name for it. That which can't be spoken. I don't even really care about speaking about it anymore. I used to love to give Dharma talks. Now I could care less. You know, I come in, if I'm inspired, I'll blather away. But it becomes simpler and simpler and simpler. And in a way, it becomes even less about practice for me and just more about either I'm present in the moment or I'm not. And if I'm not, wake up. And if I am, lovely. And that's about it. That's about it. So it was so interesting tonight. So although I've been a, you know, a very big goddess person, and I've been known, and some circles consider me kind of an expert on goddess spirituality and the Hindu goddess, but for the last couple of years, it's been, whatever. It hasn't had the same resonance for me that it's had for so many years. But I must say, chanting Kali Durga tonight, it's right there for me, and it's like, right, okay, I get it. You're the core, you're the root, whatever you are, I don't even know what you are, but whatever you are, I sing your name, and I'm obliterated in your light, or my light, whoever's light it is, I don't even know, but whatever it is, I surrender. I surrender to Hot Yoga, we can't get in here until 7:45, and I surrender to Kali, whatever it is. It's, I belong to it. So I thought I would just share that with you all. So here we are on Halloween. So when All Hallows Eve, the night when the veil between the seen and the unseen becomes very thin. Good night for diving into the depths of being. Because I have been a pretty serious student of goddess spirituality for quite a few years, the whole Halloween holiday has really been very challenging for me because I consider it such a distortion of the true ancient rite, which again is this very mystical sacred night, and the whole, this, you know, the witches and the goblins and the scary and the spider webs and all that weird stuff people do. It's just like, what? And all the candy, and it just, the whole thing is so, it's always struck me as such a perversion of what this night is really about. So I've actually been quite caught up in judgment about the whole thing, making me, if anything, not very sacred. So tonight, I'm happy to report, finally, at the age of 63, I finally got it. When the kids came to the house tonight, they were so happy to come up. And Alan did this, he gets into it, so he did this whole thing, and he hung this thing outside, and he had this strobe light, and he had this mask, and I'm thinking to myself before, oh God, why are you doing this? And it's like, oh, yuck. But I couldn't resist. I sort of hid in the kitchen when the first batch of kids came to the door. You know, I had a strobe light. And they couldn't stop laughing. They were so happy. And he was giving them their candy, and the strobe light was going, and they were saying, oh, this is so cool. And they loved his mask. And I finally got it. I get it. You know, it's a happy night for the children to go around and sneak into people's houses and see what people do. And it's not about the candy. It's not about any of that. And I even realized, even the costumes. What are the costumes? They're really, you know, giving voice to different figures in the unconscious. Yeah. Such an imaginative journey. So even in that way, the kids in their costumes are actually reaching into the invisible. It's like the whole thing broke open for me tonight. And I was so happy after that. So I no longer resent Halloween. I'm happy about Halloween. So funny. So that being said, I brought you some lovely blessings. Some, these are traditional Soen blessings. May wonder ever illuminate your souls as the candle does a room on a long winter night. May joy blow through your heart with the intensity of the north wind in a blizzard. May peace cover your lives like a blanket of fresh fallen snow. May you have the hindsight to know where you've been, the foresight to know where you are going, and the insight to know when you have gone too far. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be ever at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and the rain fall softly on your fields. And until we meet again, may you be held in the hands of grace.